What's up, everybody? Matt Michaels here on the DeFalco Files with the owner and creator of FSW, the Future Stars of Wrestling here in Las Vegas. What's going on, Mr. Joe DeFalco?
You know, I see the AI metal version of you came up with. You know, just a little tweak thing. Maybe 2.5 minutes of the song is a little much. You know, that's like
yes. It was actually 2.5 minutes of stalling for me to get the word out that the show is going on. So,
okay.
I was using those.
Gotcha.
But, you know, I also didn't want you to fall asleep in those 2.5 minutes, Joe, so.
Yeah, well, my dog woke me up early, so, yeah, I'm a little tired, so.
We just saw a cold day in hell go on at the FSW Arena. What were your thoughts, especially on that match with Jack Cartwheel and Bodie, man?
It seemed that it was exactly what people wanted to see. The idea was I knew Bodie was available. Cartwheel hit me up, and it was like at the time we were kind of set, but I really didn't have anything for Bodie. I had Sharp in the mix. What was I going to do? And then I was like, wait a second. How about I just do Cartwheel versus fucking Bodie? This will be killer. And. Yeah. You know, again, I always laugh and joke, you know, hey, best show ever, you know. I don't know if I've been hearing that a lot lately, but I did hear that a lot at this show that, because to me, the FSW Arena shows in a lot of cases have been really, really strong, but the last few in particular, and the one coming up next week is man, these are casino worthy shows that you're getting to see for $30 instead of, you know, 45 or 50.
Right.
And, you know, even coming up on the 25th, we have an ID match. We got solid stuff. But, you know, as I said the last time, it seemed like we got a bump. We got some new people. You know, you go through the Eventbrite, you get the emails, and I keep making a list and adding new people to the emails. And, you know, there was a couple parties of 4 and 5 that I didn't recognize. And then when I went to put it into the email mix, they hadn't been there. So, you know, I'm going to start asking, you know, when they're at the door, like, hey, you know, what turned you on? I don't think I've seen you here before. You know, I always try to be as hands-on as possible. But, you know, it seems like there's newer fans and the turnout was great. And not only was the turnout great, but they were vocal. They were responsive. They stayed till the end. They enjoyed seemingly everything that was there. So it's like, you know, that surge they're talking about with WWE, I guess I'm starting to notice that because we were just discussing about, you know, how difficult it is because with so much going on, trying to get people into the building, you know, right. I'm excited. You know, we have Future Shock on February 8th and Jonathan's already at 42 tickets sold. Jeez. For his debut match. So, you know, and we're going to be changing the policy for Future Shock. It's $20. Get there early. First come, first serve. $20. That's the, you get front row, you get bleachers, you sit wherever you want. You know what I mean? And, you know, it helps us with a little bit of revenue because as we stated, you know, in August, our rent went up $1,200 and,
right.
You know, we don't want to go crazy and try to, you know, all of a sudden make prices crazy, but Future Shock's 20 and 15 anyway. And we let the wrestlers sell them to their family and friends for $5 discount. So it's still the same. So it's Jonathan's selling tickets for $15 a piece. And, you know, hopefully we can make a few bucks. We got so much going on. It's just, you know, as we stated, you know, I was just on Facebook looking, people asking about Mania and Bob Evans and everybody else. Hey, FSW's got a lot going on as well as the collective. I actually, thanks to Atox, Brett finally hit me up. And then again, he sent me another picture of something on the strip, but he, you know, they are renting the ring. They're possibly doing another show. And it's like, yeah, that's going to be difficult, man. We're not really looking to, that's cool. We, you know, we're going to rent you the ring for Thursday, Friday, Saturday. There's no spot on the collective, which is a little disappointing. Then he's talking about doing something Wednesday, which I think is in a ballroom. And it's like, you do understand that we have to now set up the ring in a ballroom Tuesday night. And then Wednesday night, we have to break it down Mania weekend to now bring it to the main floor, which means we got to bring it outside because you can't just bring it downstairs. Yeah, you know what I mean? It's like, it's a pretty difficult process. So, and we're working on doing some stuff with Gabe on Wednesday. So we're not really looking to do some offshoot show in exchange for a ring that, you know, that's the weekend that, hey, what? There's going to be tons of people in town. Maybe we can, you know, add to the coffers a little bit. You know, every once in a while, you got to add to the coffers. So, you know, things are looking good. You know, we're locked up the Future Legends women's show, women's tournament. That's going to be on that noon on Sunday of WrestleMania.
Yeah.
It's like, why am I trying to give it away? It's like, I'm telling everybody what a good spot it is. It's like, well, we'll take that slot.
Right.
And then we have the Friday night, but you know, 7:30, 8 p.m. slot that we are in possession of, and we are looking to do something very, very major that I think the FSW arena for that show after SmackDown is going to be a major reason for people to come to our venue. And we're just trying to, you know, hope it works out, you know, because again, everybody knows, you know, the collective's going to be huge. GCW, they do it every year. There's going to be a lot of people. But hey, you know what? There's some people that don't want to be at the Palms. They don't want to be on the strip. They don't want to pay $100. They don't want to have to pay for parking, whatever it is. You know, there's going to be some quality shows. You know, it's like, you know, looking at some of the stuff that's been put out already. You know, I already know guys like AJ Francis is going to be in the arena. The Lucha House Party is going to be in the arena. The Gringo Loco is going to be in the arena. And there's, you know, more names to follow.
Right.
So, you know, we just started putting out a couple of the companies that are going to be out here. The Colorado Wrestling Connection and Manny Lemon's Devotion and All Caribbean Wrestling, which Kenny King, Danny Limelight, AJ Francis, Maserati, you know, so there's going to be a lot of people you do know as well as people you haven't seen in Vegas in a while. So, you know, hopefully we can piggyback off that. You know, we talked about the Future Legends Women's Tournament and we got commitments from our regulars, which would be Zamaya and Brittany Brooks and in Brooke Havoc, who we've used a couple of times, who's starting to get some love. And, you know, Maya World, who's making a splash in Texas, is committed to the show. So, you know, we're looking to get 8 to 12, you know, top women talent under the age of 25. For this event, MK is going to be involved as well as the Future Legends brand. So we're looking forward to that. So, as I said, we got the ID matches coming up on the 25th. We got Marcus Mathers versus Sam Holloway, which is, you know, not the people that FSW fans have seen. You know, they don't, you know, they're not aware. This is a big boy right there, Sam Holloway. This guy's got a 6'5", 6'6". And Marcus Mathers, I guess they just had a match and they're looking for a rematch. And it was like, yes, please. You know, hey, Gabe, you know, we're available. You know, we're working about trying to get Oasis in. And it is so funny because just because of his name, when we keep talking about the WWE ID guys, the name I keep gravitating toward is Cappuccino Jones. Maybe it's just because of his name or whatever. So yesterday I go into my email and it's like, hey, this is blah, blah, blah. I wrestle as Cappuccino Jones. I was seeing if there was any availabilities for some spots. And it's like, is that what you call a manifest? You know, there's we got Jack Cartwheel, and we got Oasis, and we got Ice, and we got this match here. So that's five. There's like 20 of them. There's 15 people. Out of those 15, I've mentioned one, and that's the one who hits me up. He must be watching this. He heard me mention him or something.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm up for cappuccino and ice. So,
yeah, you know, or we could have Cappuccino Jones versus our newest wrestler. We'll change Bodie's name to Tequila Young Prodigy. So,
well, if he sticks around those mariachis, it will be Tequila Young Prodigy.
Yeah, you know, so, and you know, we'll talk about Cold Day in Hell, but you know, since we're talking about, hey, the ID match on the 25th. Matt Vandegrift defending against Bryce Saturn on the 25th. We got Alice Blair defending against Gypsy Mac on the 25th. We have Brittany Brooks returning. So, you know, that's a big moment. Remy Marcel's coming back in a scramble match that's out of this world with Dante King, Jay Vidal, Evan Daniels. I'm still figuring out what Bateman, who's booked for the show, is going to be on there. You know, the matches are just through the roof. There you go. A gauntlet match to determine the number one contender, Billionaire Boys Club, who have officially changed their name to the Pretty City Express. And I am vehemently against it. And they're like, well, you know, we had these combinations of names. And, you know, we talked to Dr. Tom Pritchard, and he really liked that. It's like, yeah, because he grew up in the Rock and Roll Express and Midnight Express. I said it was the same thing that annoyed me about the 1% changing their name to the West Coast Wrecking Crew.
Right.
There's 100 wrestling tag teams that are the Wrecking Crew, whether it was the Minnesota Wrecking Crew or the Florida Wrecking Crew or the Tallahassee Wrecking Crew. It's the same thing as the Midnight Express, the Rock and Roll Express, the Pretty Shitty Express. I mean, the Pretty City Express, whatever you want to call them. And I'm like, you need a name that stands alone. When you hear the words West Coast Wrecking Crew, you got to think about it for a little while to be like, oh, okay. And they're doing great. They're a great tag team, Royce and Jarrell. I don't care for that name. And it was like, the 1%, they stood out. That was that man. I got to use that name somewhere else. If you guys aren't using the name I gave you, same thing with Billionaire Boys Club. You know, you want to go, and it's kind of like they had a couple of other names, and something was something killers or whatever. And it was like, well, now all these teams and all these wrestlers are looking at the opportunity for the WWE ID program. And right. Now they're trying to be politically correct to what is usable.
Right.
In that. You know what I mean? Kind of like when they start Killer Cross, I had to go to Karrion Kross.
Right.
Can't be a killer. You know, all these names that you don't want to raise an eyebrow in 2025.
So they changed their name to the Naked City Pizza Boys? What is going on?
Yeah, I saw a flyer. They're wrestling in New Mexico, I guess, against Sky High, actually. And it was the first official, the Pretty City Express. And I'm like, I don't get the name. I don't like the name. Me, the man who came up with the name, the Gods of War, you know, the 1%. And to see it change, and it's like, in all seriousness, because I joke around, as everybody knows all the time, but I'm like, I'm being serious when I'm saying, like, that name doesn't stand out. Like, it's like, try to come up with something that when you hear that name, they know it's you.
Well, and I mean, it's right away, you got cheap, you know, Pretty Shitty Express. Is going to be, you know, easy, cheap.
Yeah, hopefully. Pretty shitty. Yeah. You know, I don't know if that's a good chant, but hey, it's a chant.
It's a pretty shitty chant.
So, yeah. So, but yeah, the Mariachis obviously in there, Sky High, and their greatness and tenacious. So it's going to be a 5-team gauntlet match where the winner will be declared the number one contenders.
Yep. And the Golden Era. The Golden Era comes back. This is the first
Golden Era, yes. And you got Dutra and Wise Guy. Well, yeah. Now that's Nick the Wise Guy Stevens. A lot of name changes, bro.
That's because you use
music, I'm good.
As long as they maintain the quality of excellence that they have, then it's all right. All right. Yeah,
you know, but look at that tag division, you know, that's yeah. 5 teams there. You got makeshift, and you know, there's people that won't be there, and you know, Bateman's teamed with, you know, Andrew Delgado, and that might be a tag match. You know, you got the Killer D's. You know, you got some tag teams that we haven't seen in a while that are sniffing around. You know, so you got the faction that won't be on that this show. You got Nino and Raw Reese as a team that won't be on this show. So, you know, one thing about our tag division, man, we loaded it back up, you know.
Yeah. Absolutely. There's no doubt. And it's probably one of the most competitive, you know, areas. When you look at across the country, tag team wrestling is still kind of on that rebuild, on that re-rise, because so much has been put into singles. And I think that when you have this much potential in terms of what you can do with those pieces, it just makes the shows that much better, because it really is a different line of storytelling when you know how to work as a tag team. And when you have two good tag teams, or three good tag teams, or in this, you know, 5 teams who absolutely will know what's going on in terms of conveying what they have to convey story-wise. You know, like they always say, wrestling is like circus, right? You have all these different aspects of entertainment so that fans can find what they like, and it doesn't seem to be the same thing over and over. And I think that the tag team wrestling out here right now is just incredible.
Well, you know, the thing is, it was like, I remember when Gabe came by the second time, and one thing he had talked about was the tag teams. Because back in the day, you know, when we were kids, you know, and you had indie wrestling, and there was a tag team that made the rounds on the West Coast. They were called the Young Bucks. So they would get a lot of the bookings, and they were that premier tag team on the West Coast. And then the Reno Scum came around, and then the Commandos were kind of a little bit underneath them. But you had a few of those tag teams that stood out.
Yeah.
But then after that, it really, really ran dry. And it's crazy, but a makeshift tag team that I put together, Royce and Jarrell, as the 1%, once they started clicking in FSW, all of a sudden they went to Defy and they became their champs. They went to PCW Ultra and they became their champs.
Yep.
And they went to Best of the West and wrestled SoCal Uncensored, which at the time was Kazarian and Scorpio Sky, because Daniel was kind of part of the group. But it was a combination of those three.
Right.
But the thing was, he's like, there's nobody grabbing the mantle of, hey, we're that go-to tag team on the West Coast. And everybody in the past was the same way, but in the past, you still had those teams, you know, whether it was Modest and Donovan Morgan at UPW, and you had Navajo and Gallo in UPW, and from the different regions. And it was like, the regions don't really exist. It's like, I put the Suavecitos together because we had two young guys, and it was like, here was a better opportunity to get them a match on a show because we have a lot of young guys. So, you know, at the time we had certain younger dudes in there, and it was a Brett the Thread or a Nick Xander, and they were doing the singles thing. And it was like nowadays, it was like, okay, the Mariachis are brothers. They kind of, hey, we're going to be a tag team. Okay, cool. Well, you know, I didn't create the brothers tag team, you know, but it was like younger guys. We had a lot of young talent. And it was like, hey, if for Demir and Davion to really get any reps, it was let's put them as a tag team as the Killer D's. And Class kind of brought Reno in. And we had Jordan Cruz at the moment. And it was kind of Jordan Cruz and Reno, and Class was the singles guy. But Jordan Cruz kind of fell off. And it was like, okay, well, now through the manifestation of whatever, now you got Class and Reno who – should have been the tag team, but since Class had that head start, he was a guy that I could see as a heavyweight champion, as a Nevada State champion like he was. And then in turn, it was kind of a group of three people. Now they have a younger guy who's more of the underling in Jaden Monroe, but Class and Reno, now you look at them and it's like, you can't think of them as singles anymore. You right. look at them because they are a tight unit. And then it was like, wise guy who always wanted to come out. He was teaming with Dutra on the NorCal scene. And I've always been a fan of wise guy. But singles-wise, we didn't have the spots. So it was like, hey, yeah, we'll bring you guys in together as a team. And then you look at him, and it's like, they look like $1 million. Dutra is fantastic on the mic. Same thing, Class. Like, to me, these guys are very similar tag teams. And I'm looking forward to hopefully seeing those two teams, you know, they've kind of been right around there, but being in there together. And then you got the younger team, Sky High. Hey, they're brothers. You know, again, you got a brothers tag team. And then out of osmosis, all of a sudden, Makeshift Chemistry are a tag team. And they're on the show. And Greatness and Tenacious have been in the background for a long time. And the faction have been together, so there's always been a grouping of those tags. And it's like, go search, you know, go look at PCW Arizona. They've used the Suavecitos. They're now using Makeshift Chemistry because there aren't many tag teams on the West Coast. It's like, if there are, it's like you're kind of putting them together. There's a team out in Cali, the Divine Brothers, who I hear really good things about. We've tried to bring them in. It just didn't work out a couple times. You know, Tito and Che. Well, Tito and Che are two studs. Now, if you're going to pay them, well, do you want to pay them to have one match or pay them to have two matches on your card? Because they're going to be a little pricier than they were when they were driving in for gas money.
Right. You know,
they've accomplished a lot in those years since their existence. So, you know, being in a group, being in a faction, sure. But to now add them to a tag team division that's got 7 or 8 teams, I'm not sure that's the best way to do things.
Right. Yeah.
You know, so individually, that's where you're going to kind of go. So, you know, tag team wrestling is extremely popular because you don't want to have 8 singles matches on a card or 6 singles matches that are men, a women's match, and a scramble. You got to have a tag. You know, trios matches are popular, but what are they? They're usually 3 baby faces that are random against 3 heels that are random. You know, Saturn and Damian Desire or Evan Daniels, they're kind of a group thing, you know. You know, Bryce has really stood out in his singles matches too. So it's like you have a lot of options. Same thing with Cody and Bateman when Cody comes back, and you still got Judah Matthew, and you still got, you know, Andrew Delgado in that group. There's 5 guys. So how do you get 4 or 5 faction guys, 4 or 5 snuff guys, all these guys on the show? Well, again, as you were talking about the circus, it's variety. Hey, you got a 6-man tag. Maybe you got a women's match. Maybe you got an intergender tag. Maybe you got a scramble. And you're trying to give everybody different. Like when I put the shows together, like the last thing I want to do is put singles match, singles match, singles match. Now you can if it's singles match, women's singles match, singles match. because it's breaking it up because it's a women's match. You know? But you don't want to do, hey, singles match, singles match, singles match, tag team match, tag team match, six-man tag. No, you want to split it up so it's the variety of things. Or if there's a hardcore match, or if there's a gimmick match, or whatever it entails. Or there's the promo. Hey, there's a promo that's going to involve something. Hey, that's a good way to break up the two singles matches. Because you're always trying to change up everything. There's a little something for everybody.
Yeah. Speaking of a little something for everybody, going back to the cold day in hell that we just had, you know, Gypsy and Zamaya, you know, it sticks out to me over and over how far Gypsy has come and how far Zamaya has come in, 3 years or so? I mean, I've been aware of both of them for probably 5 years, you know, from the early beginnings of both of them. And it's just crazy to see where they've gone. And, you know, how much maturity's come into what they've been able to do with just the finding those characters and finding the way that they're reacting to the crowd now and playing that into the growth of them as wrestlers. It's just phenomenal, man.
Well, you got to understand something. With Zamaya, when we brought her in, she was green as green can be, okay?
Yeah.
You know, but she had a look about her, very unorthodox, and I always say the Bull Nakano look, you know?
Right.
And so that's an appeal right there, you know? And the thing is, she just needed a lot more reps and experience because we knew she had good training. Okay. She was going to Dom's where you any given day you got Gallo, you got Hammerstone, you got Graves, you got Reno, you got Class, you got people who can work in the training sessions. Lots of them. And that's what we credit ourselves to. Now Gypsy was in New Mexico, and she had Dante, and there's JKM, and Gino Rivera's running it. But it's more of a hodgepodge thing of like, hey, there's some people, and we're going to be training in the backyard, and Gino's trying to put it together. But I'm pretty sure Dante and Gypsy Mac are the cream of the crop there, and JKM. Because JKM's got a lot of potential. He's still young. But he's still got a lot of ways to go to be, you know, a top 20 guy in FSW. Well, over there, he's a top 2 or 3 guy. So how are you getting better? You can only get so much better training with Dante and Gypsy the whole time. And Gino. Okay. Yeah. Now, when you walk in on Tuesday, you got Sin Bodhi training. You got Kenny King. You had Chris Bay. Now you also have Matt Vandegrift there, and you got Damian Drake there, and Remy's running Friday, and Cody's running Thursday, and Maz is training, and Shogun was training, and Hiro Lu was training. And all these guys are upper echelon wrestlers that you're in the ring with.
Yeah.
Buddy. Okay. My dog. Yeah, no. You know, he hears the other voice, and now he's got a, you know, baby, as we call it. But yeah, so it's like, you know, I like to take credit. Hey, our school. But our school is only as good as the attendees that are there. And this is the experienced people. Because a lot of times when you're going to go to a Seth Rollins school, the Lance Storm school, Santino Brothers, they have a beginner's class, and you're not going to have, you might have Eli Everfly running the beginner's class, but you're not going to have Bateman rolling around with you in beginner's class. We don't really have the beginner's class. You're going to come in, so you don't know which guy on the roster is going to be there training with you. You got Ice, you got the Faction, you know, Amy and Drake. I can list 100 people that are going to be there in training. And now, not only are they probably working with you, they're also critiquing you, So it's almost like you got 20 different coaches that are involved in the training. So Gypsy Max putting in the work, she'll come in early. She's, you know, her and Dante will come in, they'll train, you know, with Vandegrift, whatever it is. Jay Vidal when he's here, you know.
Yeah.
You know, Brittany Brooks lives here now. I've seen her the last few days. She was here last week. She's trying to get ready to make that return. She's looking at the end of January and things like that. So all these people are there to work with her, you know. Right. And again, I'm not disrespecting anybody's wrestling school, but what I'm saying is there's more chance to excel in a school that has a lot of really talented people there. Like next Monday, I saw that he wasn't in Japan. I reach out, TJP, hey, let's do an advanced class. You know, there's a lot of the guys who we have the exchange. You don't pay. You drink. This is different. It's going to be like a seminar. You're going to have to throw in 10, 15 bucks. That way TJ gets paid. And we're going to run an extra class for you guys to where the beginners, free of charge, more than welcome to sit in the bleachers and listen to somebody who was wrestling internationally fucking 15, 16 years old.
Yeah.
You know, who is a mainstay. And he's the guy who helped facilitate Jacob Austin Young getting into Japan.
Yeah.
Yep. So that's how everything works. It's all connections. It's who do you know? Who can help you? Just because you're good doesn't mean anybody knows who you are. But if you're really good and you're an FSW, you damn right motherfuckers know who you are. Because we make sure we put you out there. When Gabe's watching Sam Holloway versus Marcus Mathers, and Joe says, hey, Gabe, you should check this match out. Motherfucker's checking this match out. Hit him up about, hey, if you didn't watch, make sure you check out Cartwheel and Bodie. Again, we all know Bodie's on the radar, but Bodie's 17 and WWE will not do anything unless you're 18 years of age. So am I supposed to be like, hey, you know, they know who Bodie is, blah, blah, blah. No, you make them look and say, hey, he's wrestling this ID guy. And again, if you say one of these guys is the ID guy, I'm not going to tell you who. You're going to be like, I don't know. Both of these guys are really good. I couldn't tell you who the fucking difference is.
Exactly.
And that's what makes Bodie the thing. And now you got the ID program. Okay. They got some women. They got some men. They don't got a tag team yet. Does that mean the second cycle there's going to be a tag team? Does that mean a Billionaire Boys Club, Pretty City Express are going to get looked at? Because they're on the radar. All our tag teams are on the radar.
Right.
You know, you got to be in that age bracket. You got to be, you know, looking the part. Got to be able to cut promos. You know, this is all important stuff. So what are they looking for, you know, in the next version of what they're going to do?
Right.
And we know they haven't done tag teams. So you would think, hey, they're probably going to do tag teams. Now, hey, you know what might be really good if you're 23, 24? Put together a full-blown women's tag team. Since most tag teams, or pretty much right now at this point, all tag teams are put together out of necessity.
Right.
Now, again, we've seen some stuff in WOW and other things where it's sisters who were probably wrestling by themselves, but now that they're sisters, it's like, hey, it's easy to make the tag team. They know each other already. They can get things working. But imagine starting on the indies as a tag team and now all of a sudden having a year or two of experience and you're still young. Hey, WWE looks at something like that. Yeah. And now you might be on their radar and they're like, hey, we got this tag team, that women's tag team, that's a very rare occurrence that, hey, they're pretty solid already. We might be able to do something. So that's all got to be in the mindset because WWE is forced all these independent wrestlers who are serious about their craft to now think about what they do. You know, in the past, it used to be like, oh, everybody's watching. Don't be talking shit on Facebook. Bah, bah, bah. But nobody really saw the results of that. Now, all of a sudden, there's this thing. There's the ID program. They go on Twitter. Hey, what do you like to do? Hey, tell us about the wrestling school. They're making you aware before they're even signed of who these people are.
Yep.
So when they do the Tough Enough, this is a long-term Tough Enough. Instead of, we're just going to film a couple things over a three-week period. We're going to put it together in, you know, 6 one-hour episodes. And you're not going to do anything but watch because we're going to pick. But now it's an interactive thing to where, hey, Ice Williams, he's now 3-0. You know how I know? Because WWE ID told me. Because he just beat Jordan Oasis at the reality wrestling show. So now a wrestling fan who's only watching Monday Night Raw or SmackDown or a pay-per-view is now aware that this match with this guy Ice Williams, who we just saw wrestle Cartwheel at the FSW show, now wrestled Oasis, then wrestled at the Evolve show. He's now 3-0. This guy's got a lot of personality. We see he's being groomed as a heel, doing some dirty tactics to win matches, and they are telling you what this person is, and you're getting the promos, and you're getting all the stuff. You know, first Jack Cartwheel promo I ever saw was when he answered Bodie.
Yeah.
You know, other than before the ID program. I've never, like, had him, you know, we've used him a few times. He wrestles GCW all the time. I've never really heard Jack Cartwheel promos.
Nope.
But he knows how important it is because this is now, it isn't, hey, they signed him to the ID. This is a fucking competition where somebody is going to get a real contract.
Right. Right. And it's also playing to the base of fans that were disgusted with WWE, who turned to a product like AEW, who like stuff like New Japan, who like indie wrestling, and it gives them an opportunity to now kind of lure them into feeling like, hey, we're paying attention to these guys. We're paying attention to you now as fans as well. And I think that's a huge thing too.
Well, now they announced the new thing, the level up thing or wherever. So now guys who really don't get matches, developmental guys. Yeah. That's the first step. Developmental guys who don't get matches.
Yeah.
Do you think they're not going to say, hey Joe, this was a fucking fantastic match. Can you send us the Jack Cartwheel Ice Williams match? We want to air it on our programming. And again, I get it. They make hundreds of millions of dollars. But just like the networks, Yellowstone's a hit. Hey, we're going to still air it on CBS 8 months later because it costs us absolutely nothing. And now we could sell more commercials on that. So why would WWE feel the need to have to spend more money if they could just be handed something and throw us hey, we get it. You're not going to pay me for the match, but you're going to be like, hey, this happened at the FSW Future Stars of Wrestling, you know, arena in Las Vegas, Nevada. For more information, contact them at fswvegas.com. Just like Jack Cartwheel's and Ice Williams promo got 33,000 views instead of 330 or 1,000 views.
Yep.
Because now the WWE universe becomes aware of FSW and every other company. And it's great. They have their ID schools. I haven't seen one promotion, one thing about the other schools.
Right. Yeah.
So other than a match at Booker T's, other than something with the only other stuff is FIP, and which is Gabe affiliated.
Right. Yeah.
Not gang affiliated, but Gabe affiliated. So that means we are high on that pecking order. And again, the logistics and whatever it is for us not being the ID school doesn't mean anything if we're getting way more mentions than the ID school.
Right.
where, you know, every day you can go pretty much because, again, hey, Gabe, you need a match for the ID program? Of course we got one. There's always going to be a spot. Now we get to see. Okay. People really got into Cartwheel and Bodhi. Did they get into Cartwheel because he's an ID guy, or is it because they saw him at against Ice Williams a few weeks ago, or they remember him from a GCW match or an AEW match? I don't know. But all I know is now they seem to be, because the one thing we expect from our fans is, you know, when an outside guy comes in, we're not really that into him. You know, we're not really paying that much attention. He's not like a homegrown talent. He's not an FSW guy. We don't have that emotional investment in him. But now, maybe they have that emotional investment because they're watching a guy before he got signed to WWE. And, hey, we're looking at a guy, man. Yeah, he's a nice guy. I met him. He took a picture with me. Now they give a fuck about that outside talent that usually takes a while. You know, it takes a while for people to have gotten behind Hammerstone and Graves, however they were going to do it, or right. Jay Vidal when he first came in. Even though he moved here, they don't know who he was. He had a horrible gimmick. He had to grow into himself, you know.
Right.
But now Cartwheel is now not only, oh, okay, yeah, he's here for an ID match. Well, Cappuccino Jones is looking for a match. If it's an ID match, more power to it. If not, he wants to get his face known because he's a business guy. He's an ID program guy. So right. He sees FSW is the company that WWE seems to be cool with to have our ID program wrestlers on there. So maybe I can now be a part of that roster. Because, again, now everybody wants to be part of the roster. Hey, Joe, I'm going to be down. If you got anything for me on the 10th, this is other people. It's like, dude, we're set, man. It's like, you want to come down, that's great. But my shows are booked. Right. And if something has to be added, you know, I got to get my students on. I got to get my other guys on. You know, Vinny Pacifico, I've talked about getting him on for years. We were hoping to do something with a Chris Bay benefit show at the end of the month. It didn't work out for January. We're looking for mid-March. But I got Vinny, and we're talking about Jay Vidal. And I was like, you know what? Gregory Sharp. You know, I didn't have room for Gregory Sharp on the last show just because we had that extra match. And then that limited. And I wasn't going to just throw him in another random scramble. He's far excelled in that. So it's like, okay. Vinny's coming out the 25th. This guy's wrestled some of the biggest names in professional wrestling. And he's the guy who made his way to get out here. And now what am I going to do? No offense to the Adrian Reigns and the younger guys on the skill level, but I'm bringing Vinny Pacifico in to wrestle a match against one of our top guys. And now I get to see, hey, is this guy that good? Because just like we have with the Jared Diaz and the Richard Adonises and, you know, even Robert Martyr or Trey Lamar did it in the past. These guys want to be out here and they're indie darlings in their home state, in their coast. And we are future stars of wrestling. We aren't future stars of Las Vegas. Yeah, we got plenty of future stars of Las Vegas, but our moniker puts us head and shoulders above everything on the West Coast.
Right. And it's smart too, because you know, these guys also do realize WWE does want to know, well, where else do you wrestle? You know, they're not just looking for someone who is comfortable wrestling in North Carolina and that is their home base, and that's that. They want people who are known in the West Coast, in the Midwest, in the East Coast, down South. They like that. That means you are already building your following.
Well, you know, it's awesome as what I guess they wrestlers would call it, a resume booster. Yeah. And it's like if you work for GCW, that's a resume booster.
Yeah.
You know, they're in a league of their own. If you talk about indie companies, they're their own entity. You know, there's the AEWs, WWEs, TNA, whatever. GCW is its own entity. Then everybody else is fighting, and it's like, hey, Defy's a resume builder, Progress, Beyond, FSW, Evolve. Yep. And there's good companies that are good on the West Coast, but they're not resume builders.
Yeah.
You know, West Coast Pro sunk money into making sure everybody knew Chris Hero was a major part of everything. And that becomes a resume booster because Bret the Threat now is trying to get on West Coast Pro. Suavecito is trying to get, and they are. But a year and a half ago, these marquee indie guys are going to go work there. And I'm guaranteeing you, they're not going to be like, well, this is my rate and this is what I want. They're going to be like, hey, we're interested in working for your company. And yeah, most of the time, the naive ones, the ignorant ones, or the young ones, because they don't know. And I try to be pleasant. Some people say I'm a dick, whatever. But like, I get an email from somebody and he was like, hey, blah, 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 I've been doing this. My rate is this. I'd like to come to the company. And I'm like, okay, first off, the last thing you do is tell me what your rate is. Okay. And I said, you know, and shockingly, the kid took it as professionally as you could. It's like, I'm trying to give him advice in like, hey, if you're young and you're trying to get out there, this is what you need to do because spots are limited. You telling me what you want is more money than guys who are way better than you and have done way more than. That's the last part of understanding what you need to do. And he was very cordial, messaged me back, asked me some more questions. And it's like, you know what? If this, I said, when you get better, because you've only been doing this like a year wrestling, you've been training for a couple of years, then you hit me back up because I liked his response to stuff instead of guys who are arrogant and think I owe them something. I don't know you shit, motherfucker. I got a million people. I got a wrestling school because that's how I always try to start. I'm like, I got a wrestling school and I got a promotion. So my first priority is making sure my wrestlers who are good enough to be on a show get on it. I don't need a guy who's not as good as my wrestlers working a main show of mine. You're not good enough. You know, I don't need you on the show. I love, oh, you know, he left me on red. Dude, I get a million fucking messages. You're sending me one. I don't owe you anything. I try to reach out, but I got other things. Oh, he left me on red. Well, maybe it's because when I was in my car before I started it, I saw a message that said Matt Michaels, and you see the part of the message, so it's red. Well, I'm not responding because I'm going in my car and fucking driving, bro. It's like you send me an email that you kind of get my name wrong. Oh, it would be an honor to work for the company, and you don't even know who we are. Like, shut the fuck up. It's a generic message. Don't act like you put so much work into this that you reached out to me. Like, hey, I see people who I don't know. Hello, Joe. My name is blah, 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 blah. Been seeing what your company does. They might say, hey, yeah, you know, blah, 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 this. Or I ran into that person or this person and I was at a show with. Or Sin Bodhi said to reach out. Okay, you're making an introduction.
Right.
Just like you would in any profession. Where a lot of these guys, like, can I ask, I got a question. Or, is anybody available to talk? Is a good one. Like, dude, ask the fucking question. No, nobody's available to talk. You leave a message, and when somebody reaches out to you. See, the Future Stars of Wrestling page, I actually have to now re-log in as Joe, as Future Stars of Wrestling Joe DeFalco. To now see the messages, okay? Right. So I don't see what those messages are ever. I only see the ones on Joe DeFalco. So I have to every once in a while, and I don't every 3 hours check messages to see if anybody sent me a fucking message when out of every 20 messages, 14 tell me that they're going to lock out my fucking Future Stars of Wrestling page because it's fucking spam or whatever. And it's always a spam person. Right. And it's like, I don't have time to go through every fucking thing. So when I randomly ended up seeing it, then you'll get your response back. Ask the fucking question.
Yeah, and that's you know, that's how it
and I guess so. I guess if you're in a wrestling school, etiquette is one of the last things you're going to teach. We try to. When I talk to some people individually, I probably tell my guys more individually than we do like in a group setting.
Right.
Just when somebody's being dumb, I have to like fucking tell them something. Or when I get a message and it's like, oh, any chance you could move your show? And it's like, no, I try to accommodate you, sir, but that's not what's happening on this one. And it's like, we're running a Future Shock, so most of the guys you're going to use wouldn't be there. Well, you know, and then you use the word ring crew, and you're like, you want me to move my fucking show so my students can do ring crew for your fucking show, motherfucker? Like, are you like seriously asking me that? The ones that you're not going to pay? And then you fucking promise them, you know, oh, once you get really good. No, no shit. Once you get really good, you're going to use them. Wow, that's a stretch. Like, you want me to move my show to a Friday? I'm like, my dude already sold 42 tickets. I ain't moving shit. It's a fucking family and friend show, which affects you in no way whatsoever.
Right.
Because I've already been asked. No, bro, you're on the main roster. I'm not going to use you for Future Shock. And if you are going to work that show, don't come around here. I don't need you to come wrestle the show and not be helpful.
Right.
That's what happens now, because with so many shows in town, now all of a sudden, sometimes there's two shows the same day. And, hey, we got this deathmatch show without a ring over there. And we got, you know, it's like, wow, you don't even need to buy equipment anymore to run shows.
You just have to make sure there's a garbage can and a table around.
You know, plunder for rent, you know? Right. So it's funny. It's like, you know, I understand, but it's like, dude, use your own guys then.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. You know, you act like you know, it's like I'm always seemingly the one who is going out of my way. And that's cool. Like, you know, one person sends me dates and lets me know what they're doing. And I respect that in one way. You know, the others, they don't give a fuck. And then when we happen to have a date, and then the one time they go fucking crazy, like, oh, he's running the same day as us. It's like, well, you're a totally different show, guys always said. So what does it matter? We're running a school show. We're running a show that we're going to have 100 people at. Who gives a shit?
Right.
You know, it's like, you want to run, and now you don't work with me in any way. So how about I do whatever the fuck I want, and you do whatever the fuck you want? Because you're doing whatever the fuck you want, but I'm not supposed to be doing whatever the fuck I want. I'm the one who started this shit in this fucking town.
Yeah, and you know that, again, just knowing how it works, you know.
And again, we run 2 to 3 shows per month.
Right.
They run a show, they run one. So I have to pick 3 dates. So I can't say, oh, you're running this weekend and you're running that weekend, I'll just run that weekend. Well, we're running multiple weekends. Right. So if I see your post, because half of them barely fucking put any promotion out anyway.
Right.
Oh, shit, they're running a show. If I see a post that says, hey, we're running on this Saturday, I'll generally try not to if I can. But when Danny Limelight can't make No Escape, if I run it on the 23rd, sorry, I'm running it the next week. If you happen to have a show, I don't give a fuck. I have to have my main talent at the fucking show. I have to make my show the best show it can be.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the bottom line. You know, that's the funniest thing. You know, speaking of the best show it can be, I mean, you had the Ice Williams, Nino Black. What's going on with, you know, with that situation? Because, you know, it's getting a little tense. Ice and Danny had a little confrontation in Texas, man. This is flowing over from Vegas to Texas.
Yeah, I knew they were both going to be there. I was not aware the rest of the faction was going to be there. I was surprised when I got the video sent to me. I was like, oh, I didn't know that. I was like, oh, so I see Braxton. I'm like, oh, okay, I get it, Braxton. Oh, shit, Fresco and fucking Watson are there, too. It's like, holy fuck, I guess so. So there you go, you know. Danny's taking as many shots as he can, you know. It is what it is. And obviously, a couple of weeks back at season's beatings, you know, Limelight and Crew stood tall.
Yeah.
And now at A Cold Day in Hell, it looks like Ice's crew stood tall. And, yeah, you know, when there's a war going on, well, there's only one way to settle the war, my friends. And with No Escape coming up, there's some questions that definitely need to be answered. As I said, January 25th, no members of Limelight's crew, I guess now known as Notorious. But on February 15th, there's going to be an announcement about everything that's happened. So you can expect something to come out of January 25th. But on February 15th, all parties will be in the building. And as we announce No Escape on March 2nd, you can be rest assured that the faction and Notorious will have a major influence on matches at No Escape. So that has to be, you know, taken into consideration there. Big Duke Lawrence is, you know, I think became maybe the biggest baby face in FSW history after he destroyed Tom Crawford. I'm watching it as it's happening, and like all of a sudden you hear the crowd. I'm like, motherfucker, I knew if he ever touched Tom, this was going to fucking happen. Who put Tom in that fucking match? You know, like when he did, you know, when he killed the other ref, I guess Jonathan didn't want a ref, obviously, because the last time he was involved in it with Duke, he got decimated. But, man, all of a sudden the crowd loved Duke after what he did to fucking Tom. I think, I'll tell you what, I think we have a new Danny Davis in our midst.
Right?
You heard it here first.
I mean, the natural heat is there, man.
You know, his ref skills leave a lot to be desired. So, you know, just saying.
Well, hey, as long as the Million Dollar Man doesn't come along and give us a second Tom Crawford.
Well, you know, the good news is, you know, thankfully from his hospital bed, he was still able to grab Scoop's pictures of the Tommy Gunn photos. So if you did miss it, the first thing you knew about what happened at A Cold Day in Hell was Tommy Gunn's got destroyed by Duke Lawrence. You know, if there isn't a bigger mark for himself than Tom, I really do not know. Maybe Limelight, but man, at least Limelight actually does something to, you know, to receive those adulations and being a mark for himself.
He didn't hurt his ring bell hitting hand, did he?
Well, no, we had to have somebody else take his place now because of the incident. Warren, had to do that. But, you know, Makeshift Chemistry and Killer D's were solid. Billionaire Boys Club and Vice Camera Faction, because they were on the same sides of the fence. This is the first time we've seen them together. And it's like, you know, you're looking at a professional wrestling match. Like, that could be on anywhere.
Yep.
And there continues to be a lot of them. You know, Nino and Ice kind of started around a similar time. And whether injuries, incarcerations, whatever it is, Nino Black, you know, hasn't been around as often. And you could see balls to the wall on that one where he's out to show, hey, don't sleep on me.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, and you know.
don't sleep on. How about this Damian Drake kid who's seems like his whole attitude is I'm still not getting all the comeuppance I deserve.
He's the hunter.
Yeah.
And now there's rumors that he might be hunting someone's girl. So, because for some reason during a match, he was out for whatever reason.
Yeah.
So,
it's some interesting stuff going on there, which is great to see. And also, I think sometimes when, you know, we talk about all this going on, then you look on someone like Rainey, you talk about a kid who's wholeheartedly just, you can tell that he wants this, right? He wants to grow. He wants to learn. And I think it's just great when you get some opportunities to, you know, work with guys who are really starting to put everything together and show that, you know, they are people that you want to be around. So I think we just lost the DeFalco. All right.
I'm here.
Oh, there we go.
No, yeah, you know, no doubt. You know, Rainey's always been very eager. But again, you come in, you think you know everything, you think you're good enough for everything, and you have to get that humbling. And now the problem is some people take the humbling wrong, and he was the guy that I said was the dumbest smart person I know. That was the moniker I gave Rainey. On the things, and there were issues and incidents, and it's like, listen, bro, shut the fuck up. When you're ready, you'll know, because I'll tell you. And you know, unfortunately, sometimes they think, hey, I sold 14 tickets. Okay, that's great. If you sucked, you're not getting on the next show. And that's what probably happened. The first show sold some tickets. People said, hey, it's time to give him an opportunity. He's been doing this. And maybe didn't do as well. Demir was the same way. To where all of a sudden being in the bright lights compared to their training sessions in front of nobody, they were ready. Then they had a match and they didn't do so well. And sometimes people don't like to hear the fucking truth. And right. Younger guys kind of sometimes want to, you know, unless Kenny King tells you, you kind of want to blow it off. You know, oh, Joe said it. Not only am I getting input from other people, I've been doing this long enough to see when you fucking suck. You know what right. I mean? And it's like, you have a long way to go. And it's like, and again, being eager because, hey, I'm training and I came in early and I'm training with Matt, you know, like to do something with Matt. It's like, dude, you're lucky you're on Future Shock. Shut the fuck up. Like, you're not wrestling for the Nevada State Championship in your second match when your first one sucked. Like, that's right. Cool. And that's cool that Matt likes you. But, and as much as I like Matt, you know, if he wants to come down to Future Shock and help you out and have a match, which they did. But you're not part of a program or like, hey, I was thinking, I don't care what you were thinking.
Right.
You know, I have enough things going on. We had a guy, student, and he didn't mean it by any way, but I have to shut him. I have to shut these people down. Like, so you're in and out for like 3 or 4 months. You disappear for 2. And now you're giving me this long list of what you want to do and how to. I don't care about your ideas, bro. How about you train for more than 1 month in a row? And when you're ready to have a match, I'm going to tell you what we're looking for, and I'm going to give you the opportunity for your thoughts. But what you want to do other than what your name of your wrestler is going to be and what kind of character you're trying to produce, your job is to listen and do what's needed of you. And that becomes some of the issues because, hey, they're getting a match and they want to do everything in a 5-minute match because they need to show me every single fucking move that they can do. And it's like, that's not what gets you onto the next show. What gets you onto the next show is if I need you to be in a position like Trademark and Excellence because I'm doing something with Duke. Right. And at this point, I don't really have a viable match. So we're trying to do this, trying to build some momentum. And unfortunately, you are the guys who are taking the heat. And be thankful because I feel you're capable of doing it. See, you know, the guy who gets the first match isn't the one who does the coolest shit in practice. It's the one who knows how to sell and bump his ass off and make the other person look good. Yep. So your jobber role is to make that other guy look like a fucking monster. The more you make people look fucking great makes me pay more attention to you. Not the fact that you can jump on a fucking crash pad and do a fucking 450. Well, guess what? You're never going to do the 450 in the match because you're getting your fucking ass killed by fucking Tito Escondido.
Right.
And again, it's the people talk about, oh, wow, yeah, that's a cool idea, man. That's some long-term storytelling. Well, that's the fucking idea. You're trying to get people engaged in what you're doing. Unfortunately, sometimes people come back and now they're eager for that storyline. And it's like, it's just not that easy to be like, okay, storyline today, we're going to do this. And now we got a storyline for No Escape in a month. And it's like, that's not how it works. First off, a lot of times it happens organically. It happens because we did a 4-way scramble. And I was like, hey, man, these two guys really had some chemistry together.
Right.
And one's presented as a baby face. One's presented as a heel, good guy, bad guy. Hey, I don't really have anything for them. And that's what breaks off into something that leads to something. Yeah. And unfortunately, some people don't understand how difficult it is to do that. And they think it's just simple. And it's Joe don't like me. And it's like, you know, the truth of the matter is a lot of these stories that you see are based on timing and in right place, right time, because you got Matt Vandegrift. Okay, well, right now he's really not involved. A little bit, been doing stuff with the Bodie and Bryce Saturn, and they worked in the six man. So there's some kind of like connection with those guys.
Right.
But it's a little bit of a reach compared to, hey, Ice is deserving of the title shot. We do the thing with Limelight. Motherfucker basically broke his nose. We got this stuff going on. And that organically, and now we got Reese and Nino came in. We had conversations and Nino was ready to come back. Reese was just his bodyguard. So there wasn't really like, I'd say 2 weeks before the Ice match with Danny Limelight, and we have the Against All Odds to win the Rumble, it wasn't like, okay, guys, this is what we're going to do in December, January, February, leading into No Escape. It was, oh, shit, yeah, that looks good. Maybe if we do this, and then we did something else and did something else. Same thing with the women's division, you know? It was Brittany Brooks was the mainstay at that time. She was ready to take off. She got hurt. Then all of a sudden we did something in Maserati. And it's like, okay, we're going full four. Oh, she got hurt. And it's like, oh, there's Alice Blair. And now as we put it on Alice Blair, all of a sudden, because there's no Brittany Brooks, maybe, and now Maserati's getting so much love from the fans, maybe Gypsy Mac is the third wheel at the time, because he's the new young, you know, oh man, this is the future of the women's division. And now all of a sudden through the injuries, Gypsy Mac has jumped over all of them. And now she's getting the title shot.
Right.
You know, 3 months ago, if you said, hey, it's going to be Alice Blair for Gypsy Mac for the women's championship, I'm going to be like, are you fucking nuts? Like, that ain't the plan. But plans have to change, and you have to adjust, and you have to take into consideration what's going on. It's like when I would joke and say, makeshift chemistry being the tag champions. It's like, with that tag division, no fucking way. Like, you're fucking nuts. Yeah, unless we have a future shock championship.
Right.
And it's like, all of a sudden, they jump ahead of the Killer D's, the Mariachis, whatever combination of trademark excellence and Adrian Rain that we were looking at. And, right. you know, these young tag teams. And these young tag teams got put together only because, hey, these guys are kind of friendly. We need a tag match for somebody. Because now, at the time, we have Mariachis. And we have Sky High, who are baby faces. And we have Makeshift Chemistry are coming along. That's three teams. So yeah. we need, if we're doing a future shock, we're trying to get these younger guys on. Well, hey, here's an idea. Davion and Demir, the Killer D's. That was a joke. They kind of liked the name, so we kept it. You know what I mean? It's like trademark and excellence calling themselves Golden Showers. You know? So I was the announcer, and, you know, we basically were like, you're fucking nuts. We're not using that fucking name for a tag team. I called them that at that show because it was their family and friends anyway. Between them, they probably sold 20 tickets, you know? But it's like, you want to be on the show, this is what I need. You know, right. in wrestling from day one, two people that didn't even know each other would walk in and attack. I wasn't aware of it until Class told me, and then Greatness posted it. Class's very first match in FSW was in a tag team with Brandon G. How fucking random is that? Like, I don't even remember that. Maybe because I tried to block it out of my memory, you know? But, yeah, so it was a young guy coming in. Hey, like, I thought it was him and Jordan Cruz. I guess that was his second match because that was, like, at a Future Shock when we were doing the New Talent Initiative.
Right.
New blood. So I was always under the impression if I wrote the book, it would have been, you know, if Class became a big star, you know, I would have talked about how his first match was at Future Shock against Jordan Cruz. And I would have been incorrect. So it's like you're trying to make things happen because on Future Shock, we're trying to get Warren Moore on the show. And we're trying to get Flyboy Freddy and Enrique Calderon and some of those Arizona guys who are helpful. They're good, but there just isn't enough room. You know, and it's funny because, you know, Remy goes to Arizona and he wrestles with a lot of those guys. He ended up wrestling Graves and Grizz Brody in a triple threat. And we had Grizz and all these guys. And it's like, it's funny because I'm watching a TV show. And in the TV show, it's kind of like the way the perception is of how somebody thinks somebody's thinking about them.
Okay.
And it's kind of like with this, that these guys come in and they have this already preconceived conviction in their mind about how I think about them because I didn't use them or they asked about something and it didn't happen. And it's like, bro, there's a million things going on, you know, and Flyboy Freddy may hit up for something. But, hey, all of a sudden he sees a guy like Bryce Saturn walk in. Well, Bryce Saturn came into a spot where I needed something. And he excelled beyond my expectations by having this really awesome match with Ice Williams. Right. Well, no offense, but he's jumping to a spot of what, hey, this is what I'm looking for. This is what I may need at this moment.
Yeah.
And then, hey, he's friends with an Evan Daniels or Damian Desire. We're doing, hey, we're going to do a six-man. So Damian Desire's been coming up. So Evan Daniels comes up. But there was times I tried to use Flyboy Freddy and he didn't make it for whatever reason. And another time his car broke down. There's always something that happens that initiates something else. You know what I mean? And it's like, everybody wants to make a reason why it is. And it's like, oh, you know, hey, how come he won't give me the shot? He's, because it's what I need at that time. Spots are extremely limited. And it's like, you might be better than that guy, but I need that guy because it's a certain perception and shit.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, that's what the business is. And you got to remember it's a business. Again, it's going to be New Year's resolution on the 25th, which is a Saturday at 7 p.m. at the FSW Arena. You can also catch it live on Triller. So if you're not in town, you can check that out. And then, of course, big dates coming up. Future Shock on February 8th. Then the Valentine's Day Massacre on February 15th, the day after Valentine's Day, of course. March 2nd is No Escape. The Faction Warfare, which...
Might have a name change on that one.
Oh, okay. All right. So No Escape, the might be a name change.
No Escape. Mikey's trying to use Apocalypse right now, so...
Oh, okay. All right.
You know, we can't use Doomsday. You know, that's a cross trademark, you know.
Right. Well, you could if you called up Mr. Cross and kicked him back.
Initially that was kind of an idea for, you know, doing No Escape to bring Cross back, but we'll see still.
And then, of course, in April is the Full Tilt 3 with WrestleMania being in town. So a lot going on. And, of course, the FSW Arena is hosting the FSW, you know, WrestleMania weekend, Full Tilt 3. Phase 1 Pro is one of the participants. So, as
these what was that? Out, oh, yeah, Phase 1 Pro, Colorado Wrestling Connection, Manny Lemons with the Devotion, you know. Hang on one second. I'm going to go get the list, and I'm going to announce everything that we can. Hang on.
Oh, all right. There we go. But again, it's a big, you know, a big time right now, these next couple of months leading up to April. I guess that's the week of the 16th, 17th, 18th, 19th, 20th, and then I think Raw is the 21st, so it's a big week with lots going on here. It's definitely a lot of fun coming up. You know, the participation is off the hook for Full Tilt, so this is going to be incredible. All right, so
here's what we got that we can announce for sure. So Wednesday, right now, between 7 and 8, Colorado Wrestling Connection. I know Duke Lawrence is wrestling on that show. There's Lilith Grimm. There's a couple guys from Colorado that have been part of the tryout that we've done. Danny Limelight's going to be on that show also.
Nice.
Then Thursday, Phase 1 Pro is kicking off at noon. So that'll be the noon show on Thursday. Winner's Circle Pro, Shogun was the guy who got me connected with them. They're going to be running about 3:30. Demand Lucha out of Toronto, Canada. They will be at about the 7 o'clock time slot on Thursday. As of now, I know in the main event, Gringo Loco, I believe, Aries, and one other. I heard the name, I don't know, but they'll be wrestling the Lucha House Party on the main event on that show. Then you got All Caribbean Wrestling is going to be an 11 o'clock, 11:30 time slot on the Thursday. So Limelight will be there. I saw a match that was announced that some people are going to love and some people are going to hate. But it is Kenny King versus Marty Scurll will be a match on that show.
Wow. There's a name you haven't heard in a long time.
Yes. AJ Francis will also be on the show. Maz, if she's healthy, I think she's ready to go. But Danny Limelight. So if you look at the All-Caribbean roster, you know, at their last show in the Bahamas, Mark Henry show is part of that promotion. Yeah. They actually had Ron Simmons and JBL, the APA, were there. So, you know, regardless of what you read, they will not be serving bottomless tequila shots like they've announced. But, you know, they have a VIP bag where you might get a little thing of whiskey or, you know, tequila that you can drink on your own time. But that's the Thursday schedule. So Friday, time change, 11 a.m., because I guess there's some kind of convention that the women need to make more money at. So Podermania is going to be at the FSW Arena at 11 a.m. I know on our end, Brittany's booked, Zamaya, Maserati was shut out, I know, because of the injury, because she had hit me up about it. But you know Ed, and Ed is going to bring in a lot of talented women wrestlers that are going to be here. So you got that at about 3 o'clock. Manny Lemon's Devotion will be running with MK. You never know, he's going to bring in a Sam Adonis, you know, Tommy Dreamer. You know, Manny's used a lot of that TNA talent that he became friendly with when he used to do some work with them. At 11 p.m., UPW Pro Wrestling. I'm not too aware of them.
I don't know. Sounds like they've stolen a name from somewhere.
Could be. I don't know if it's the Ultimate Pro Wrestling. I don't know.
Yeah, I got to call Bassman and find out if Rick's got any copyright still.
Well, it could be the Ugandan Pro Wrestling. So then it's still.
Is that what Sharp was? Is that what Sharp was doing?
That could have been. Maybe he was negotiating a deal that I can't disclose at this point. And then the 7 to 8 p.m. time slot is ours. And what we do with it, we're working on some ideas. For the Wednesday, as I said, we're working on a training camp with Gabe Sapowski, who is now really in the forefront of the ID program. So I would imagine that would be a great turnout. Saturday, we have two shows set. One is at noon and the other's at 11 p.m. So the 12 p.m. show is the Texas Wrestling Cartel. Mm-hmm. And they use a lot of talented big names, but I haven't really gotten everything from them yet in terms of, you know, the announcement. I know they're making that very soon. So then the Sunday at noon will be a Future Legends Women's Tournament 25 and under, right now featuring Brooke Havoc, Maya World, Zamaya, and Brittany Brooks so far. And Brittany was very nice of her, as Maz does, of giving me large lists of women who they feel would be very good to have in the tournament. So very shortly or very soon, I'll be going through that list and seeing who I also know.
Yeah.
And, you know, where we want to go, you know. Obviously, Billy Starks, his name is mentioned because she was in the Future Legends tournament a couple years ago. But she's on AEW on a signed contract. So I'm not sure, you know, that's who we want to bring. She's already a signed talent. You know, and we're looking for independent wrestlers that, you know, are close to being, you know, seen on the national scene. So, So Mania Week's going to be good. We'll see what's going on. I know the Collective put out their stuff. They got about 11 shows. And from what I understand or what I saw, you know, it's two Janela shows. You got the Bloodsport. You got the Effie. You got the GCW. Then they're doing something with like DDT in Japan. So out of the 11 shows, about 7 of them were theirs, you know?
Yeah.
And all I saw, well, 7, and I think 2 of them were part of theirs, like with joint shows. And then I saw the only ones that I saw were Progress and Defy.
Okay. Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah.
So not as much as a collective as a tag team.
Yes.
Yeah, it's exciting with everything that's going on and with the popularity spiking again. I think, you know, you said at the beginning of the show, something that triggered something that Jesse Hernandez posted on Facebook, and that was they were doing a show, and someone who has done work with Jesse's company there was driving for Uber and picked a family up, and this family was going to a movie, and they were disappointed. They wanted to go see to go to Raw, and the tickets were just way too expensive to go to a WWE show. And the guy just happened to say, well, there's a independent wrestling show right here in this city running tonight. And the family went nuts. The two little kids were like really pro wrestling, like live pro wrestling. So it goes to show now that with that popularity, again, that presence in pop culture really influencing the kids, man, that you're going to get more attention on good independent pro wrestling now, where families are going to be finding this again. And
yeah, I really believe that the street teams and doing flyers and hand delivering them needs to be back in the mix. You know, I was driving, you know, toward the school by the back way, and it was like, hey, there's a lot of apartment complexes kind of in this area. And it's like, man, it won't hurt to get 2,500 flyers for a good show. You know, you have, because again, WWE fans are now more aware of other things on the indie stuff. It's like,
exactly. Yeah.
You know, all of a sudden it's like, hey, Monday Night Raw, here's the WWE ID guys. And you can't do that in 1981, but in 2024, you're like, Google, what's a WWE ID thing? Oh, these independent wrestlers that are signed technically, yep, to, and they'll be performing at their own local promotions and elsewhere. And now all of a sudden, it's like these guys will be like, hey, like Ice Williams takes advantage of the situation. It's like he's the ID guy that we have on the show. So when you walk in the door, he'll have his shirts and he's added merchandise. Because right. Why? I'm going to bet he's selling more T-shirts.
Yeah.
So now he's making his brand expand. And like I said, when we had people that I never seen before, it was like, I remember I saw an Undertaker shirt, and I think I saw an Austin shirt, and it was from people that I had not seen. I saw a guy, he ended up getting some tickets through Vetix. Like maybe it was the first time he saw him. I don't know what it was. He was like, oh, yeah, I used to come to the shows. What happened to Sam's Town? Blah, 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 because he used to live by there, you know? And nobody understands that not everybody goes on the Facebook and the Twitter, that you have to reach them in a different way. So if they don't see you at Sam's Town anymore, they have no knowledge of any way of knowing where they can find out about this. Because it isn't like, you know, I'll try to hit up the TV, whatever it is. Like maybe we got to do some more radio spots. Maybe we need that billboard every once in a while and make sure that budget goes towards something. Especially if we do a show like, hey, if we do a Chris Bay benefit show and all of a sudden Cross is on there and Rhino's on there and these TNA talents are on there. Well, maybe it'll be good to have a banner up, which is, you know, the marquees that they run every, you know, they run for 10 seconds every 90 seconds and right. They run it for a week and you have to pay X amount of dollars. but you might be able to get 10, 20, 50,000 more people to be aware of your show, kind of like when we do the stuff at the Silverton.
Right.
Yep. You know?
Yeah.
I guarantee you there's people who came to that show that have no knowledge that we did shows at the FSW Arena. Hey, pro wrestling. Hey, cool.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think one of the biggest, you know, takeaways, I think, from what I saw on Jesse's post was the family couldn't believe that in that case, for $60, all four of them could go to a wrestling show. And, you know, it's that affordability factor is going to come into play now. And, you know, just having something like a WWID where if that is something that is mentioned, you know, now it's something that, you know, young people can kind of get behind in terms of, wow, I just saw this guy and he might be in the WWE one day. And I think that that's just amazing to see. And, you know, as far as the you know, that whole idea of future stars, it's, you know, it's really now getting an opportunity to, you know, to put that all into play.
Yeah, our name's even more perfect now.
Right. It's, you know, at what point are they going to have to purchase that premiere? So.
Well, I saw they were doing something and it was like, oh, check out the future stars. Oh, whoa. Oh, I guess I should have, trademarked that, you know?
Well, there you go. Joe, any final thoughts before we
see? Yeah, we got a week before the show, but it's a big show that we got in store. New Year's resolutions always been kind of like the casino show at the arena. But yeah. This month we had Cold Day in Hell, which was a casino show at the arena. And now we're having another casino show at the arena. So, you know, take advantage of it. I think we're also going to be bringing back the season pass. So if you come to a lot of shows, you can save yourself 20-30% because it's the new year, looking to get sponsors, trying to influx some money into things that we can, you know, set up and do. And that's the best way to do it by trying to incorporate that. So, you know, we do an average of 30 or 40 shows. We can do it the arena shows. We can do it all the shows. And instead of, you know, paying for two and it costing you X amount of dollars, well, hey, if you got the money up front, same thing with the students when we offer 3-month packages instead of the, you know, month to month. You know, I had a guy yesterday, so he saved himself, you know, $100 over the 3 months because he had the money and just paid it up front. And plus, he had a little more experience than he told us in the beginning. So me not being, you know, a shyster, I gave him a little bigger discount because it was like he really shouldn't have been paying the full per month fee. So it's like, okay, I'll knock another little bit off for you because he's already going to wrestle on Future Shock. So
nice. Yeah.
Yeah. Good. Yeah. Remy put him over strong, this guy Daniel. So, which is weird because he lives in Vegas now. But he works for the G League in Texas. So he flies out. They had 3 games last week, so I didn't see him at all. Like, hey, where you been? Oh, that's my job. And it's like, so he has to fly himself to Texas. But he says, you know, for one Spirit flight with his little backpack, you know, it pays for, you know, one of the games, and the other 2 games are his profit. The season will end at the end of, like, April or whatever, and then he'll – move to Vegas full time and then get a job there, he said. So.
Yeah.
So he's got one ticket sold for me, he said, his fiance. He's like, I'm making sure she pays. I'm like, you're damn right you are. It's your first match. So between him and Jonathan, they've sold 44 tickets between
44.
Them.
Yeah. Not bad.
No, sorry, 43.
43? All right.
Yeah, 42 for Jonathan and 1 for him.
That's not bad, but that combined number sounds great.
He's like, yeah, did I beat the mariachi's record? I'm like, well, technically, they're 2 of them. So, yeah, their record's 45, but they both sold. So you're only one. I'm like, you know, the show's in like 26 days, Jonathan. I'm pretty sure you'll sell two more tickets if you sold that many a month before the show.
You know, what you should be pushing to them is, here's the deal. If you sell 150 tickets, it's your show. The whole arena sold out. It's your private show at that point.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I told him that like already, it's like, you know, how bad would it be to have him be the first match? Everybody leaves by the time his match is over, you know? So now, cause he's like, oh, I heard something. And it's like, dude, there's no way you're not going to be at least the semi-main in that show, because everybody's coming for you anyway.
Right.
You know, because right now it looks like, you know, Jonathan's first match might be against Gregory Sharp.
Oof. Which is, I mean, again, that's, you know, birth by baptism.
Or Duke Lawrence. He wants his revenge on Duke Lawrence. And how funny would it be to see Duke Lawrence beat Jonathan in 10 seconds? Jonathan goes to the crowd. He turns. He catches him. Chokeslam, 1, 2, 3. The match is over. All those people be like, what the fuck was this that I just paid for? And then we do the rematch the next month.
Which is a 15-second match. He gets seconds.
Because I remember when we had Tyshawn Prince, when we first brought him in. And there was a guy, Mosh Pit Mike. Mosh Pit Mike was not the most athletically gifted wrestler. He does a lot of stuff with the Juggalo wrestling. He's from New Mexico. And Mosh Pit was a guy who would take more punishment than just about anybody you know. Sure. So even though Tyshawn killed him, we did 2 or 3 matches of Tyshawn killing him. But the crowd really liked Mosh Pit Mike because, like, he would get murdered and still, like, give me more. You know, one more, please. And yeah, he became a big fan favorite just because he would take so much punishment.
Just like Mikey Whipwreck. You know, that's how he got over in ECW. Tommy Dreamer started that way too.
Yeah. You know, it's a good way to, you know, Nick Bugatti was a jobber guy for a long time, to where he would just, and I remember people would be like, I was disrespecting him because I once told him, like, and this is all I said to him was, you know, the problem I got is you're such a good jobber. It's hard to take you out of that role because you do such a good job making other people look good. Yep. It's hard to find that person. And other people took that as disrespect. And I was like, that was the ultimate compliment I gave this guy. And you're trying to put in his head that I'm trying to fucking bury him, because that's how dumb you people are.
Yep.
You know, because, and again, obviously he went on to bigger and better things in FSW, but it's like, man, it's hard to get that person. Because it's like referees. If you don't have a real ref, technically a real ref is somebody who trains and wants to be a referee. On many, many, many independent shows, a referee is usually one of the younger students who's not good enough to be on the show. So you kind of put him in a ref spot, but he has no interest in doing it. So he does the bare minimums in those roles, and he's really not very good at it. And, you know, we're fortunate that between Cody and Amber, that's what they want to do. They want to ref. And, you know, Amber's good, but Cody is maybe the best referee on the West Coast right now.
Yeah.
So, you know, and that's the issue. Like, neither one of them was able to make the last show, and we had to make do. And Arizona brought a guy who wasn't bad. Thankfully, because Tom was put out of action quickly. But, you know, Jonathan keeps selling 40 tickets and he keeps progressing as a wrestler. You know, if we don't have Cody and Amber, we have to now go back in search of, you know, maybe Justin Borden has a day off from New Japan and makes his return.
Or, you know, Jonathan, if you want to make that extra envelope, refs a match.
What envelope? The one that I put a note in? I'm not sure of the meaning of that word envelope for a Jonathan. That is.
Well, that's how you make one.
He wants to make money instead of taking the $5 discount. He could still charge the tickets and make $5 a ticket.
Right.
He'd be higher paid than the FSW champion.
Right.
If he sold 50 tickets there, he'd be double the, you know, he'd be making a lot of money. If he $5 a ticket, you sell 50, yeah. 60 tickets, he'd be making $300.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I wish all the guys would figure that out and think how many tickets you'd be selling every show, right?
You would think. Yeah, but then you got to watch out. It's like, okay, you can't sell tickets to the people that already come to the show, bro. Right. It's like, oh, I sold 2 tickets. It's like, yeah, you selling tickets to Brandy and Amber don't count. They come to every single show. Now you just got me $5 less from them because you also sold it to them for the discount. And now you're trying to take credit for it and then think I'm supposed to give you $5, which make it $10 less.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Well, with that being said, everybody, until next week, everyone take care. Have a great week. And again, we'll talk a little bit more about 2 years resolution. Until then, everyone, have a wonderful week and happy wrestling.
Here's a